The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim of robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, "Take care of him. If you spend more than I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back." Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim? He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
All good people ask themselves, "Well, how do I grow in holiness? How do I grow in union with God?" And sometimes we think it's very difficult. Maybe if I find the right book, or if I go someplace, I will find a way that I can really get it all together. But all the readings today are reminding us that the way to holiness, the way to good, is right there with you. Listen again to the first reading. "For this command I enjoined you today, it is not mysterious and remote for you. It is not up in the sky that you should say, 'Who will go up in the sky to get it for us and tell us of it that we may carry it out?' Nor is it across the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross the sea to get it for us and tell us that we may carry it out?' No, It is something very near to you, already in your mouths, in your hearts. You have only to carry it out. And who is that? That is God. God is right there with you, in your heart, in your lips, in your mind, always seeking your attention. It is not complicated to be good, is it? We know it deep inside. And so when this man came, you know, he's a man of the law. He's a man who sometimes men who read a lot complicate our lives too much, you know. And this is a guy who's a scholar, and he's read a lot. And he's wondering, well, really, what do I make of it all? How do I put it all together? And the Lord Jesus shows him how simple it is. He says, what is written in the law? And he said in reply, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Now, why do you think that we don't do it? Why do we complicate our lives so much trying to find out how to be good? Because we know it, but we know that doing it requires commitment, sacrifice. You have to get out of yourself, out of your selfishness, your individualism, thinking about yourself all the time, and start thinking about others. So it's not that we don't know it. It's just that sometimes we just don't want to do it, isn't it? And so the Lord tells them a very simple and very profound story. It's a story that we now call the story of the Good Samaritan. Do you know that the fathers of the church saw in this story of the Good Samaritan the representation of the whole history of salvation? How God always is trying to reach out to all his children and heal them and bring them to himself. Now, I need your concentration and your intelligence to figure this out, to really ponder this. This is what the fathers of the church saw in this parable, and it's really beautiful. Who do you think that the man going from Jericho to Jerusalem is? If we see the symbolism behind this, it is Adam, and it's every one of us sinners who have been beaten up by the devil, who have been wounded terribly, and we are there. So Adam is the man who left his city, is going to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is paradise. He can't get there because he got beaten on the way. Jericho represents the world. The thieves are the powers of the enemy, the demons. The priest represents the law. The Levites represent the prophets. And who do you think the Samaritan is? Yes. Is Jesus. Very good. Exactly. The Samaritan is Jesus Christ. And the wounds are our disobedience. And the donkey represents the body of Christ. And Jesus puts him on his body and takes him to the inn. And what do you think the inn is where Jesus takes people who are wounded? So they get healed, so they get well. What do you think the inn represents? Anybody? The church. That's right. And those who are in the inn are supposed to be us, Christians, who are ourselves being healed. But now we see our brothers and sisters that need healing as well. So the keeper of the inn is the shepherd, the priests, and the bishops today that have to take care of the people. And Jesus says, take care of him. And Jesus gives the church what is necessary to heal that wounded person. Jesus gives us the power. And where is the power found to be able to heal in the church? It's the sacraments, the power of the Word of God. And then Jesus says, take care of him, and I will repay you when I come back. And that is a sign that Jesus will come back. It's the second coming. And there, he will repay all of us for all the good work that we have done to the Samaritans of today. And so, the story of the gospel today, and actually the readings today, remind us who Jesus is. He is created, no, not created. He is the Son of God from all eternity, without any beginning or end, because he is God. And all things were created in Christ. And all things are going to be healed and brought back to life in Christ. He is like the center, the heart of all of creation, of all of us. As we come to Christ, we get healed and we get transformed. We get a new life. And that's why we go to the church. That's where the healing of Christ begins to happen. So the Gospels and the readings today teach us that really we know inside what is right. Even this scholar who was asking this question when Jesus said, who do you think of the three was a neighbor, a good neighbor, took care of the neighbor? And every, you know, immediately he knew, of course, it was the Samaritan. Now, there's another important thing about this story. The Samaritans and the Jews didn't get along. So Jesus is saying, your neighbor is not limited just to the people you like. You see, in the times of Jesus, there was a discussion going on, and some people said, well, the neighbors are the people that are good to you. Other people said, the neighbors are all the people of your nation. The Israelites are our neighbors, but not people of other nations. The Pharisees thought only the Pharisees are our neighbors, not anybody else. So Jesus is now saying, guess who is your neighbor? Everyone is your neighbor. Even your enemy now is your neighbor. Jesus spans the concept of neighbor to make it universal. But that makes it harder too, doesn't it? Because Jesus says, you have the power that I'm giving you to love everyone, even your enemy. So we all know the way of Christ because it's written in our heart. The Holy Spirit lets us know. But we can block it. We can get used to being so selfish that we forget what it should be clear to us. The Lord has put in every one of our hearts this desire to be good. But also the enemy puts in our hearts this desire to be selfish. And we think, if I help my neighbor, it's going to cost me. If I help the Samaritan, maybe it's a ploy. Maybe he is faking it, and he's going to beat me up. There's always a risk. There's always a sacrifice in loving. When we love, we make ourselves vulnerable. Jesus, to bring us into the inn, to bring us to salvation, gave his life on the cross. And this is the battle that we all have inside. We want to be loving, but we are afraid of paying the price. We are afraid of what's going to happen to us if we plunge into God's will. Are you afraid? Think about it. Are you afraid to be obedient to your parents? Are you afraid of listening to that inner voice of the Holy Spirit in your heart telling you the next step to do in your life? How about those things that pop up that you didn't expect every day that you have to respond to? The situation comes up and you can take a choice. Do the loving thing, care for your neighbor, maybe a member of your household, or you can go in the opposite side, pretend you didn't see it, right? Don't we do that sometimes? And let somebody else take care of it. Do you see the practical implications of this gospel? That is why when some people say, well, how do I grow in the spiritual life? I always say, if you start going to Mass regularly and really taking seriously the Word of God. And you realize that when we come to Mass, we come to die to our selfishness, die to that old man that is entrenching into himself, and we really open up without fear, trusting in God, we are going to be blessed. We're going to learn how to love. Do not be afraid. That's what's keeping us back. That's why John Paul II, remember, one of his big themes was, do not be afraid. You see why he did that? Because we're afraid of being the Good Samaritan. We are afraid of loving in a way because maybe sometimes we've been hurt before. Maybe sometimes it hasn't gone too well. And we're afraid of the consequences next time. And so the Lord says, don't be afraid. Trust in God. Discern in the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll show you how to love and to go for it. What is life for if we do not give it away? If we don't live to love and to serve? How blessed we are to be able to hear the Word of God and to keep it. Let us now present to the Lord our profession of faith.